What's up? Welcome back to another episode of Rank 'Em All, the podcast where we take one band's discography, go through every single song, episode by episode, and rank them some bitches one at a time. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am the Podfather. We're also going to introduce me as Spark Lord today, just so you guys know. Spark Lord is a thing. They call me that at work. It's real. It's a thing. So that's what you're going to go with today. Anyways, I'm not alone here on Rank 'Em All. Today, joining me, as always, the Podmaster, the host with the most, the man, the myth, the legend, Brando. What's up, dude?
What's up, Deuterinos? Welcome back to Rank 'Em All. And we are back once again, as we said, going down the Ghost discography. We have reached a milestone album, that's for sure, here with Meliora, as well as we're going to be hitting up on Pope Star, and as well as the bonus track from Meliora as well. But we are not alone. Nate, of course, joining us here today is our very good, the one and only stepdad, Tyler McLaughlin.
Hello, 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 hello. I'm doing good. We got a nice... I'm glad that no catastrophes happened this Wednesday. Between everything that we've had going on with the kids and then just back to school, and work's been crazy for me too. So we've had a couple snafus trying to get recorded here. So I'm glad that no technical difficulties.
That no is updates surprising. Either.
Yeah. Yep. Nope. Right away, it's like I didn't open my laptop and have a 4-hour long Windows update. So
and also joining us, the one and only Sister Crimson herself. What's up, Andy? Welcome back.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not
thanks
much.
For having me again. I'm excited for this one. Really excited.
Yeah, you brought your shirt.
I brought my shirt.
I don't know if people noticed though, because like you did it on the first one and I didn't say anything, and then the second one I kind of like was like, oh shit, you're bringing the shirt for every album we do. I fucking love the spirit behind that.
Brando awesome. And I have a pretty good a story to tell when it gets time, because at this point, 3 out of the 4 of us have recently seen Ghost, and
yep, I'm the only
Brando,
one that hasn't.
Brando and I's experience was tumultuous. It was unfortunate. We had a lot of catastrophes happen, and we almost didn't get to see Ghost even. It was pretty close. So I'm excited to get this one going. This has been, spoiler, this has been my favorite album so far.
Okay. Well, shit. Let's just, start talking about the album right away. Dive right into this. This album was recorded, in January of 2015. We didn't get the release of it until August 21st of 2015, meaning it's a little over 8 years old officially, which is crazy to think about. There were 3 official singles from this album. Weirdly enough, one was not one I was expecting at all, and we'll get there when we do. But, as you guys have already kind of let off and said, this album is really fun, and, I'm very excited to talk about it today. So we're just going to jump right on in here. We'll open up with Spirit, the first track on this album. And, Brando, let's get your thoughts. Take it away.
Man. Not an intro track. First thing I thought of, the last 2 albums have both started as a, like, kind of like a, like an intro to the album / maybe the next, but not really. I think the last album we talked about kind of had an intro track that it really didn't bleed into the next song. But this one has a cool intro to the song, and the song itself, you know, is self-serving. But it fits into, man, that organ in the background and throughout, it just laid the tone. You could definitely tell a tone change from the previous record. You know, we had the establishment, we had the growth, and now here we are. We're teetering into maybe some more growth of sound / influences. You know, messing around with the course with the sound, but not deteriorating the core element. And that's what I find really fascinating about the growth of Ghost as a whole. But this is the first album now, since we've had a couple, that it becomes even more so apparent, is this album and the song instantly, man, this has a really heavy tone to it. in that guitar solo section. I like that as well on this one.
Awesome. Andy, let's get your thoughts on Spirit.
When I first started listening to it, you know, trying to review the album, I noticed that it does have that more sinister sound to it. You know, even though it might come off, maybe it's too digestible, because I also feel like this album is starting to commercialize Ghost a little bit more. The songs are a little more catchy. There's things that people might be apt to like liking more. But I really like it. I love that spooky, it was almost like Scooby-Doo organ sound, the movie sound in the beginning. And the lyrics I really love, because that line that says, throw yourself into the vessel of possibility. That, to me, that just signifies, like what Brando was saying, this experimenting going on. Tobias is going to like let us into this world even further. And I don't know, I kind of like take that personally, because I'm grew up like very reserved and Christian conservative. So now Papa is telling me, throw yourself into possibility. So I love the mystery and the element of that song. And I love like the guitar tones and just chills. I get chills on the last line that he sings that note. I think that was beautiful.
Absolutely. So for me, I want to riff on this really quick. Honestly, I don't know if you guys caught it or not. The theremin is what opens this song. And if you've never seen a theremin played before, it is an instrument you do not touch, which in and of itself makes it very unique. And I would love to have witnessed whoever actually doing the thing to make it. Would have been fun to watch how that was recorded. The drums are really tribal and locked in for this song. Like, they are just so rock steady, perfect, just exactly where you want them to be in the pocket. The first verse of this song is old but new. It has a refreshing sense. It's Ghost, but it's like more evolved Ghost from the first album that we didn't see in the second. It's like they brought a little bit of their old selves back and refined it. All the instruments dropping out going into the second verse is fucking dope. I really love that part. Well, except the guitar. I think the guitar sits there and it's like, anyways, the bridge guitar lead, in my opinion, is so epic. Like, it just builds this so tangible, I guess is the way I would say it. And then the outro vocals are just really rad and build throughout, which I fucking loved a lot. TY, what about you, bro?
This is another one of those good examples of each one of you going through my notes here as you guys have been talking. Each one of you picked piece by piece, like everything that I wrote down in my notes. This is definitely, I love that, Scooby-Doo vibe that Andy brought up. I think that, the sinister feeling, and I definitely agree that it's a little bit more of a heavy tone coming out of the gate. Obscure instruments, the theremin, there's a glockenspiel in this track. It's very chunky, and I think as far as intro tracks slash first track on the album, however you want to look at it, I think this is one of the most solid that they've had so far, at least as far as what we're as what we've ranked so far. One thing that I do want to point out, as I've got the Spotify stuff pulled up, like always, 20 million play or streams on Spotify right now for track number one, Spirit. But as far as the track lengths, you know, I'm normally that guy that's like, hey, this song has droned on for like 7 to 9 minutes and I don't have a lot of time. There is hardly a song on this album over 5 minutes, by plus or minus just a hair. And I think that is a big part of what maybe makes it a little bit more accessible to the radio edits and whatnot. And as catchy as a lot of these are, I think that for me, I just had to, I had to sacrifice a little bit of, because at this point, we're all that person that's like, okay, you know, it's another Monday morning rock radio tune. But there's a lot of these that I think if you ignored or if you didn't or went out of your way to not consume that media, that you'd miss out on some really good tunes on this album.
Absolutely. All right. Well, TY, hit us with your rank.
I'm going to go with an 8.5. I think between the keyboard and the fucking glockenspiel, man, this is a hell of a way to start.
All right. I actually gave it an 8.25. Andy, what about you?
8 out of 10.
Nice.
Brando?
I gave it a 7.
Okay. We slid down the grade there.
Boop, boop, boop.
All right. Well, let's move on now to From the Pinnacle to the Pit. This is track 2 from this album. We're going to kick it off with T.Y. this time. He got all his thoughts taken last time. Let's start with that.
No, that's okay. I think as far as from like a business standpoint, you know, if you're looking at a track that to be this catchy, to not have, I think for me, the chorus definitely could get a little bit too repeatable. You know, it's like if the song was any longer, I think that you definitely would get tired of it. But I mean, this album came out in 2016, and I still hear From the Pinnacle to the Pit at least 2 or 3 times a week, if not more, on the regular radio that I listen to. So 44, almost 45 million plays on Spotify alone. So I think this is a great tune.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, Brando, what about you?
Bassy bass is bassy. Man, this song once again continues the heaviness throughout, and that bass, the bonano, bonano. I'm not saying they took it. I'm saying it sounds like it. So don't misdrew my words. It reminds me of the bass in a Zac Brown song.
Really?
The heavy is the head with Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
Has a da-na-na, ba-na-na, a very, very similar intro bass. That song's heavy as hell, too. I like it. That's a really
cool
song.
They came out around the same time.
Oh, but yes, yes, yeah. That's what got me, because that album that's on came out, like, pretty much the whole album was kind of like my, that came out right before my first kid was born. And mm-hmm. we were finishing up his bedroom with just that album on repeat, that Zac Brown album. Cool. And so, like, hear the whole thing. You hear all the different kinds of styles of music they have on there, and then you get like, how cool is it that a country artist, he has a top hit on the country station, but then he has a top hit on the rock station as well with Chris Cornell, sure. Obviously. And then that was right, shortly, like shortly thereafter, we lost Chris. So,
right.
You know, really cool stuff there. But that's what it reminded me of. This song's really cool. It builds. So, like, to me, this song. As far as how much I like it, it built on it from the first, from the opening track here. And yeah, good track.
Andy.
Well, I love that bass. Intro bass gets me every time. I will echo off of what Ty was saying about the song being too repetitive. It is a great song, but as I was listening to it, like objectively trying to think about it, it could get a little lost. And I think that payoff just takes a little bit too long, maybe until like the first chorus. But it's pretty decent. I didn't have too much to say about it other than I really like the way the last chorus goes and then has a really great solo. But I think maybe could have been changed just a tad to keep it a little bit more interesting.
Okay. I'll repeat, parrot, whatever you want to say, what you guys said. I thought the bass intro was really just an ultimate just headbanger. As soon as you hear it, you just want to move your body and make some shit happen. The chunk with the menacing groove makes this song once again just really memorable, honestly. The drums are just in the pocket. I'm just gonna say this might be the drinking game for this one, because I think the drums in pretty much every song have some quality that just makes them shine in a very special light for whatever reason on this album specifically. The Black and Feathers Falling Down line is like one of my fucking favorite lines in a Ghost song. It's just so, so good. The bass cutaway pre-solo when it just goes back to the intro bass is, I love dropouts. I said that in the last song, that when the dropouts happen, it's just one instrument being focused on and then we're kicking back into the whole band. You're going to get me to be hyped on that every single time. It has a unique song structure in that it's like spinning on a gerbil wheel. You know, it doesn't ever really go anywhere until it goes somewhere. And then when it goes somewhere, it leaves where it was completely behind and says, we maybe weren't ever really there, you know? But the finger tapping solo riff at the end gives me chills. I really dig that. But ultimately, I gave it a 7.75. Let's go with Andy. What's your rank?
6.8.
And Brendu.
7.5.
And Tiwa.
I'm going to shock the world a little bit. I put this one as a 9, and almost strictly because I'm still hearing it played so much now on the radio. The girls and I have been listening to a lot of just standard radio on like quick car rides. You know, it's like not worth the time getting my phone out, picking out the music to play. And, you know, just today on the way home, I heard this song on the way home from work. So, you know, it's a 9 all day for me.
Badass. All right. So let's get back into it. The next song on the album is Cerise. Andy, lead it off. What's your thoughts?
This was my introduction to Ghost.
That's absolutely perfect.
Yes. So I was working retail and I was with one of my old coworkers. I was driving her home and she was saying, hey, have you heard that satanic band that's on the radio? I'm like, satanic band? She's like, yeah, you got to check this out. Like, she was kind of against it. And I'm curious. So I went to go check it out. And it happened to be Cerise that was airplaying at the time. And I was like, This isn't satanic. What is this? So then I started my little rabbit hole and I'm just like in love, right? Because I was going through like kind of a tough time in my life and then questioning my spirituality. And there's Papa ready to save the day with all this crazy costumes and lore. But The song itself, I feel like it's a perfect ride the whole way. One of my favorite music videos. I love the blend of the music, the message, and just that feeling of being saved, you know? It has one of my favorite solos in there. And the way we play it is we put that guitar solo on the guitar change into the guitar solo. And I love the detail of the drums. There's some like timpani going on in there. I think that just adds like a whole nother thematic element to it. And I think if you're listening to the album by this point with this song, like I mentioned before, this is when you're starting to hear the maybe mainstream digestibility of Ghost. But this has been one of my favorite songs for like the longest time. And I really love it.
I'll share that sentiment. I think that the slow acoustic guitar brings a tonal shift in the album. We start off just at like, we're really heavy and aggressive. This is not that. We're doing something different. The heavy backing guitars, the whole intro fucking slaps. Let's be real. Papa's vocals are flawless throughout. The piano and the bass breakaway. Hey, there it is. Another breakaway. Super powerful. Honestly, now there is nothing between us. Our merge's eternal line is the best for me in the whole entire song. The guitar lead is emotionally captivating, as is the solo. The organ intro, outro kind of seals the deal for me. I think there is so much heart in this song, honestly. And Papa belting at the end, like, just can sometimes, if I'm in the right wrong headspace, just break me. When he does that long oh thing over everything in the final chorus, God damn, amazing. TY, thoughts?
I mean, here we are again, and each one of you perfectly summed up exactly what I wanted. The keyboard solo, loved it. The breakaways, you know, all the people that are like, when Shania Twain says, "Let's go, girls, I want to kick a fucking door down." It's like, that is how you get me hyped. The acoustic in the beginning, you know, it's such a tonal shift. and this the tempo is so slow, and you know, I've had a lot of stuff going on in my personal life, and this is one of those songs that here lately has just, it just keeps hitting. And you know, this is definitely one of my favorites for sure.
Brando.
There is a reason that this song is the song that broke them through to the American audience. This song is so well produced, so well intricately written, from different instruments to this, like, this song is a horror movie within itself. That video that Andy mentioned is awesome. This song is also my introduction to the band. Woo-hoo. I had heard, when I saw this on my suggested YouTube, I was like, because I had heard the name of the band. I had not heard a single song yet. But I heard the name Ghost, because there was that while that they were going as Ghost BC, right? During the previous album, cycle, due to some copyright, stuff. Yeah. So I was a little confused. Like, it was already a band called that? Is this that? So it was that whole saga that I was like, I knew of them, but this was my first flavor of hearing what they had to offer. And the way that the song is designed around to penetrate into the soul as he's alluring and trying to attract this girl and take her soul. Come with me if you want to live. Take my hand. We're off to Never Never Land. All these things. You are lost. Find comfort in me. I can, you know, it's in the damn lyrics. The part, so that what's awesome here is that you have this, dichotomic dynamic where you have the first time he does the chorus, it's nice and soft and gentle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And everything, and then when it builds up to the next one and all the instruments drop down and he has this tenderness in his voice where he's like, can't you see that you're lost? And then he comes in and with the swell, without me, and then boom, kicks into the chorus. That gets me every fucking time. This song is fucking encapsulating, just like Tyler said, it grabs a hold of your emotions. And then you're belting with it. You're swooning with it. The guitar solo is simple yet effective. It is something that, do you guys ever watch, Rick Beato, mm-hmm. on YouTube? He just did an interview with, Kirk Hammett, and they were talking about all different kinds of stuff, but there's one riff in The Thing That Should Not Be. And he said, in this clip that I saw, he was comparing it. He's like, look, like, we're doing Master of Puppets. We're doing Battery. And then this simple, he goes, it's so simple, yet effective. Because that whole song, The Thing That Should Not Be, is about tone. It's about, it's Cthulhu. It's the Lovecraftian stuff. It's trying to fight, and you don't need to go fast and crazy and everything, all this else. That's what this song does too with that guitar solo. It's simple, yet effective. You don't have to do this an intricate speed solo. This song doesn't call for that. And, yes, this song is a fucking classic. This song is their stamp. This is the growth. This is their breakthrough. This is still played on the radio today, just like the, just like Pinnacle in the Pit. This song even more so. This song is one of their most popular songs, and they have had the blessing to have songs that continue to be hits and further on. But, you know, just like you have all these other bands that have always all these great hits, Led Zeppelin, there's always the first one that broke through. And that was this here first series.
And the Grammy winner too. Let's not forget that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, TY, before we get to ranks, what's the Spotify count? I don't think you said.
Thank you. I was getting ready to mention that. My window minimized. Bear with me.
Love that.
It's over 112 million streams just on Spotify.
God damn.
So that one by itself, pardon me, that one by itself, you know, it definitely speaks volumes.
It's a monster.
Mega hit, absolutely. So let's go through it. Brando, what's your rank?
10.
TY?
10.
It's a 10. Andy?
10.
Hey!
Hell yeah, boom. There we go. Love that.
There it is. That is 3 albums in. We got our first perfect score.
It deserves it. You know, and one of the things that I wanted to point out, you know, I don't have this big long descriptive history with ghosts, but it makes me so frustrating when I hear or I see somebody on the internet, they're like, oh, you know, it's one of those ghost songs, like it's a bad thing. And it's like, at this point in my life, I'm so against like shitting on what other people like. That this is one of those tunes that somebody would be like, well, they played on the radio a lot. And it's like, so what?
Right.
It's been played over 112 million times just on this one imaginary computer thing. Like that means it's good. I don't need you to agree that it's good for it to be good.
Well, and you know, some people are like elitist where they're so now that it's on the radio, the band's too big for my back pocket. You know, they sold out, that, you know, that kind of deal. You, and you know what?
Sure.
Everybody has different tastes and they like the having their smaller, they feel like they're more involved in it. But you know what? I'm a dude that listens to anything and everything. I like some of the more obscure stuff. I get trapped in these bands that I like that nobody else does. But then you know what? There are times that I like really catchy, just sing-songy stuff. Whether that be
that's okay.
You know, some old country music that I grew up on, George Strait and that kind of stuff, Brooks and Dunn, or if it's like freaking, you know, Nickelback has good songs too, and everybody's gonna blow them crap. Nope. And are they cookie cutter? Absolutely. But you know what? Sometimes that's what I want when I'm coming home from work. I've had a day and, you know,
something to carry me home.
Something to carry me home and put a smile on my face. It's like, what am I in the mood for? Am I in the mood for symphonic metal, power metal, speed metal, country? Oh, okay. We're in the mood for this. All right. You know what? Here we go. Sometimes the shuffle button saves me after all.
All right.
Hell
so
yeah.
We have officially found ourselves on the next track, which is Spokesonaut. Am I saying that right?
I think.
Spokesonaut.
Not.
I think so.
Would be a long O there with the umlaut.
Okay, cool. Didn't fuck it up. So, harp? Question mark? Is that what we're starting with? That sounds like a harp. It's pretty cool. Unsettling build into He Is. I think this is, again, a nice little cue up, an alley-oop, if you will, into a much bigger song. Sets the stage perfectly. That's all I have for my notes. This one's kind of going to have short notes. I'm sure all of us have very little to say, but TY.
Pardon me. I didn't have a lot as far as notes go, as you just alluded to. This is one of those that, you know, we talked a little bit about intros and lack thereof and some of the transitions and stuff, the last couple albums that we've ranked, obviously we've talked about that a lot. This is one of those tracks that I think, you know, you totally could have tacked on to the end of Cerise, and then it would have made that not as good a tune. And I think you definitely could have just put it in the front third of He Is, and then it would have just been okay and just made it one track. So I didn't rank this one super high or super low, just because it's one of those that I think I understand why it's there, but I also think that maybe we could have just done without, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
That kind of sounds harsh. I don't want it to sound that way. But, you know, it's just, I just didn't super dig it.
It isn't meaty enough, as in like length, to really warrant it to be a pre-intro track, is kind of what I think you're saying. Brando, what are your thoughts? Same kind of vibe?
The Van Halen instrumental tracks return. If you listen to our Van Halen series, there's quite a few of these throughout. Yeah, I mean, of course, I mean, Van Halen has one of the most iconic and memorable instrumental tracks ever. With Eruption. And then you've got him plucking on and clipping piano strings or something. It goes all over the place. This isn't that egregious here, but I kind of agree with Tyler how, like, it's there. However, seeing them live, this was played live in between some tracks. And it fit the setting. It kind of, like, instead of there being nothing while they were changing instruments or doing, you know, or a costume change, it was, it's utilized. And here's this in between this. And so it gave me a little bit more of appreciation for it. But at the same time, if I'm going through with a full album listen, you know, I might not skip it because it's not long enough for me to warrant even picking up my phone to skip it. It doesn't really do a lot for me. So like if I was going through and saying, like, if I was to make a playlist of Ghost songs for people to check out, I wouldn't put it on here.
Okay. Awesome. Andy?
The nice thing I wrote about it was it's just like a break from the 60s and maybe 70s organ sounds on the other instrumental tracks that we've reviewed and ranked in the past. Mm-hmm. It's nice, but it's not like my favorite. There's not enough going on like other people have been saying. I'm kind of glad it is by itself. I know Ty was saying, well, maybe if it was on the front end of He Is, I don't think that would have worked. I'm glad it's by itself. And like Brando was saying, it does fit a live setting, and that's what it's for, but not really like a great track for me.
Okay. So let's go ahead and rock and roll our ranks. Andy, where you rank it?
4.
Brando.
6.
T.Y.?
I gave it a 5.
I'm going to talk about this for a second, mainly because it sets the stage perfectly. I gave it a 7. I did give it a little bit of a higher rank just because it does set up He Is nicely. Let's get into He Is immediately. For me, the song does a masterclass in religious overtones. You want to fucking confuse a Christian, play this song for them, and they will think it was written by a Christian band until they hear a certain couple words and they're going to go, what did he just say? What was that? Hold on. So I think this song can be easily misconstrued as Christian because of its tricks that they use. They literally use tricks that Christian music uses to entice people to go back to the well and listen to it in this song so cleverly. It's perfect. The bass is a hidden star in this song, honestly. It carries the lower weight throughout the entire thing and honestly is driving. Papa does, what the fuck did I just write? Oh, okay. Papa does a great job of being really menacing in this song, right? The story he is telling, what imagery he's painting with his vocals is very menacing in my view. Heavy guitar following the bass at the end there, that last section is super stellar. And the final solo just, it fucking hits. No questions. T.Y., thoughts?
The harmonizing acoustic guitars in the beginning of the song just really, it just really grabbed me. And then, you know, just the fact that this is kind of a ballad, you know, I have a soft spot of that, waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and hearing, White Lion just playing on the TV. And it's the like greatest ballads of the 80s.
Monster
like, super
ballads.
Cut. Yes, that one, Monster Ballads. So, you know, by no means am I saying this is some White Lion shit, but you know, this is definitely a ballad. I really dig the piano and the orchestra stuff. You know, that's such a common theme throughout that it, for somebody that has to be like, well, I really like the orchestra. It's like, I don't need an excuse to like that little bit extra, I guess. But just the fact that this one is so catchy and so clean, you know, it definitely sets the tone. The song is so misleading. You know, it's 100% fit in the theme of what it's advertising. The final third of the song is just an absolute banger. So this is another one of those, at over 70 million streams on Spotify. This is another one that played on the radio as much as you want. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Brando.
Man, that acoustic, like just what he was talking about, it gave me such Simon and Garfunkel vibes.
Yes, I wanted to bring that up, and I forgot. Thank you for saying that.
Low-key intentional, I think, too.
Yeah, maybe so. But no, like, this song is just like it's been said, very cool. utilizes a lot of cool modes in there to send a kind of perverted message, if you will. But it's so catchy, and you just keep listening to it, and it's got a sway to it. And it fits so good in the live setting too, because they have all these different kind of songs, and this is like this big kind of like brings the energy down a little bit. Lets everybody, instead of like headbanging or singing along, chanting, you're just kind of swaying, and mm-hmm. and like it really fit the vibe. And yeah, I really dig the tune a lot.
Right, Andy, what are your thoughts?
I think it's another great song with another great video. The religious rebel in me loves it. I love that play and how you can confuse people. But it's so smooth, and I really appreciate those strings leading up to the chorus. It's so gentle. The end solo is just, I love that. And I love how it ends, because it's just so resolved, and it's just like a lullaby, and it's like lulling you to this place. But it's funny, because in the next track, you're just going to be shocked. So I like how there's this calming thing, and then, oh, wait, we're going to go over here next. But I also wanted to mention, there's been several remixes of this song. There's also been a duet version, which I really like how that was done.
Oh,
I don't
shit.
I don't remember the name of the woman, but I end up singing that version a lot more. It's like, oh, this is such a great track. And I love how it's performed live and the audience gets involved. They have their phones, and now they're going to be doing light up bracelets for the LA shows. It's going to be so nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Nate?
I believe Nate is frozen.
That is not good. There he Oop. Is.
Oh, do we have a freeze out moment? That's old school.
You were froze, dog. Straight froze.
Oh, damn.
Ice cold.
No bueno. Okay, so we're officially here. It's time to rank them, eh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Andy.
You came back just in time.
What you giving us?
9.
Brando.
9.5.
T.Y.
9.75.
Ooh.
Go up the grade, because it's another 10, baby.
This song
is, I mean, too good. For too many reasons.
It is. I argued. I argue with myself, because I was close, but I'm like, no, there's just something, I don't know, to me, it doesn't quite hit Cerise. So it's like, it's great. It is up there. It's in the echelon of their better songs. This song is playlist. Like,
that's why I went 9.75. I compromised with myself because I wanted to give it the perfect 10, but Cerise is so good, but this is almost equally as good in its own way. So, you know, it's almost.
I pulled the fucking trigger. I love this album. There's a lot of love festing happening throughout some higher ranks. I'm sure you guys are going to go, what?
But some love fisting?
No. Whoa.
Nate, we don't need to talk about the fisting again.
Love fisting.
We don't need to do this.
Not like this.
I hate you guys. Okay. Anyways, let's move on now to Mummy Dust. I'm actually going to kick it over to Andy to lead things off. What are your vibes on this song?
My vibes. Bull in the Ring. Like when that kicks off, it's just like a whole nother world, and I absolutely love it. I will admit, like when I first started hearing this song, I was really into it, and then it kind of faded out for me. And the live shows brought me back to love this song, because that performed live is just something else. It shakes you to your core. The lights, the instrumental parts, it's just like insane, especially the guitar solo. That is just so wicked, like so amazing. One of my favorite parts. Let me see what else I had here in my notes. Just, I love the drums too. It just really kicks off. And I didn't rank it as high as some other ones, just because I feel like other people were saying before, there's Cerise is like the golden bar over here. This is like a whole nother animal too. I just love how it's so different from going to the ballads. And then you have this harder stuff that might be reminiscent of maybe some Opus stuff and maybe some Enfest stuff, but certainly a Meliora vibe.
Absolutely. I kind of love the head banging marching intro. It just sets you up for the door getting kicked in. The synth hits pre-verse are absolutely dope. Papa Whisper singing at times is super unsettling and awesome, because it just, he's bringing it into this dark register that just kind of, it fits everything he does. I love the rad, the synth solo that has like the hits of the synth happening over top of it. It's really unique that that's happening. The third verse has a synth walk down that's like booty doody 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 do. Oh man, that gets me every time. The Angelic Vox outro is a chef's kiss for this song to me. That's my thoughts. TY, let's move it to you.
Nate, you hit almost every note that I had. The snare, just the how prominent the snare is throughout the like mid to the remainder of the song. You know, I'm 100% ready to get up out of my seat and go, you know, go march and do whatever I'm being commanded to do. The guitar solo, love that a bunch. I actually ranked this one a little bit higher than, let me rephrase that. I ranked it and then I listened to it a bunch of times. You know how Spotify, you'll be listening to something totally irrelevant or totally not related to the track that they sneak in there every now and then. And just the last week to 2 weeks, I've been listening to a lot of different playlists, and this song has gotten snuck into like four or five of them. And almost every time, like I'll listen to it and then I'll, you know, I'll pull my phone out and I'll hit back on the track and listen to it again and let it go through its thing. And, this one is definitely catchy in a positive way. The drums keep it going for me, and I really appreciate that.
All right, Brando.
Really cool-ass riff in this song. It's really heavy and really moody, and the guitar solo section was very Dream Theater-esque. I got a big Dream Theater vibe out of that, especially with the keys touching in. And they have been playing the song live on tour, but they didn't play it at our show. And I was a little disappointed. Yeah. I think it got cut for time.
I'm going to pull the set list up for our show, Brandon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was a little bummed. I was a little bummed because I normally don't like to spoil myself if a band's on tour. Some bands that like you have a set list and you have a couple songs that maybe you change out per city. That way you can kind of like, you know, this city got this song. So then, we go to the tomorrow night instead of playing, you know, this song, we'll put this one in. Some bands do that. Some bands keep a set list and it is boom. That's your set list. And that's what we're playing all tour. So I don't like to get spoiled, but as we were standing there, getting further into the show, we had to make a plan to, like, when are we going to start walking? to leave, you know, how far are we in? You know, we've heard quite a few songs, but no, that's how I kind of got spoiled that I saw at a previous show and like, okay, we've heard this song and then this song. And okay, we're about halfway to the thing. Oh man, this song's coming up. That's cool. I got a little excited and then we didn't hear it. So yeah, a little bit of a bummer.
Yep.
All right, Brando, hit me with that rank.
9.
TY.
I'm going to give it a 9 also.
I have it as a 9, tried and true. Andy.
8.46.
Oh, I love the obscurity of that number, Brad.
8.46.
TY, before we go on to the next track, what does Mummy Dust have as far as a total plays? I'm just very intrigued.
It is. I was actually going to give that to you. It's funny that you asked. It's sitting just under 30 million plays.
So far, it's the least played that we've talked about as far as full tracks.
It's actually got 9 million more plays than Spirit.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So right now, as far as everything that we've ranked, we're at, and I'll just do whole numbers, 20 million, 44 million, 112, 10, 70, 29 at Mummy Dust. Yeah, this one's actually got a little bit more plays than Spirit, surprisingly enough.
What I will add on before we move on to the next one is that the Spokenaut is kind of like your outlier here. Otherwise, you would have had Cerise, He Is, Mummy Dust, like a big three, like 1-2-3 combo, like a really cool, like variation in style too with the, you know, with the he is right there in the middle, breaking up like that, the big epicness of Cerise, and then that more chunky and heavy Mummy Dust.
Right. Let's move along now to Majesty, as Brando was saying. This one is, what are we, track 7 or 8 on the album? T.Y., kick it off, my guy.
Okay. Majesty. I really like the heavy open. I got a lot of AC/DC vibes. Kind of in the beginning. And then, it definitely transitioned right back into that traditional Ghost feel. The breakaways in this song again, big fan of that. This one maybe not ranked as high as the last couple that we've done, but this one's definitely solid for sure.
Brando.
Solid is the name of the game. I don't have a whole lot of notes, but I did write that I love the organ mixed in with the riff. And this episode's drinking game, along with, I mean, maybe hasn't become In the Pocket, but so catchy. So catchy. Every time you hear the word "so catchy," take a shot. You'll end up dead by the end of it. I mean, this album's catchy. Cause I'm going to say it again later on. It's a lot of good. Tobias has really mastered the art of getting your attention with a good hook. And, you know, here we are, third album in. He's now gotten good at it. Like, it's not even, like, obviously we got more albums to rank, and we already know, that how good he is yet to get. So,
Andy, where are your vibes on Majesty, my friend?
I wrote an infest on steroids, ? And then I wrote, if Spirit and Cerise had a baby. that's where the vibes are at. But I feel like this is my underdog track. Like, I didn't really dig it before, and then I started listening to it and just weasels its way in there, as some Ghost songs do. And I love how that guitar is in your face and it's kind of haunting. And to kind of explain the infest thing, I think it throws back to the traditional Ghost sound. It's like there's something a little bit more evil Catholic church vibes, but we're still catchy and we're still selling it to you and you're still taking it. That's what I love about it.
Excellent. I think that I right away was captivated by the chunky 70s tone that leads the start of the song. Brando, here's a kickback to you. The bars section of Ghost here, badass rhythm section, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
Definitely drives this tune perfectly. The build to the chorus has a brilliant payoff. I love the mixed up sinners flocking up like soulless sheep line. Ugh. Just like, it's like the greatest example and phrase of what true religion does. These people don't really know. They're in a crossroads of their lives. They're looking for an answer, and they go, I guess this guy's cool. But you could go to Ghost. I mean, it's a lot cooler, in my opinion.
We have cookies with Ghost.
We do. We add cookies, and we'll talk
about communion.
Yes.
And hellfire.
The bridge transition is in a weird key, but I fucking love it. The song is a little tiny bit repetitive, just a little bit. Just a little bit. I gave the tune an 8.5. Andy, where'd you leave it?
8.7.
Brando.
An 8.
T.Y.
7.75.
Okay.
In the ballpark.
Yep.
Yeah, we're definitely all there.
I think it's definitely solid. It's sitting at, it only has 200,000 less plays than Spirit on Spotify. So, you know, as far as tunes on the album, it's right there along with everything else. And I think that the fact that it's under that 6 minute mark, definitely makes a big difference.
Excellent. We're on Devil Church now. It's the next song on the album, if you want to call it a song. Brando, what are your thoughts? My guy, lead it off.
Another VH Van Halen instrumental that doesn't really... The thing that I said about these kind of tracks during the latter part of the Van Halen season is that when they're not overly good, what these tracks do, besides what they're intended for, maybe the live setting like the last one or something to serve a purpose or an intro track, for the album experience in an era where we have instantaneous streaming, you can get any song you want, anytime you want. You don't have to just sit there like we're doing, like we do, and listen to a whole album like in a book club type setting, but an album club, if you will.
Yeah.
Would anybody seek out this song just to be like, yeah, probably not. And then therefore, when you're ranking a whole album and what we're doing is ranking each track, it's not fair to rank these. And therefore, unless you're an Eruption, that which is just an instant classic and a solo that everybody everywhere knows, all you're going to do, unless you blow my mind away, is bring down the album rating. And that's disappointing in a sense. That notwithstanding, like this doesn't, it, there is no other words for me. Just this track exists and that's it.
Andy.
I thought it was a good transition track. I certainly enjoyed it a lot more than Spokesnut. I just liked the darker tones and sounds at the end. And I just love feeling like I'm at Ghost Church. I'm just here, you know, doing my time. So I don't know. I ranked it a little bit higher because I enjoy listening to it, but like I won't actively go seek it out. It's just kind of, you know, there.
I think that the synth solo that they build on sets the stage for Absolution, which is what you're doing. I kind of love almost the bomb sound at the end. It kind of has a crashing vibe. This song, honestly, the tone they have, and I don't know if anybody's even going to know who the fuck I'm talking about. Maybe, maybe not. Total CKY vibes in the tone of the music. I was like, oh, I'm 100%. Tyler is shaking his head. Did you write that like line for line? I hate that we did the same.
No, it's just, it's so funny that. Like it's like I've talked about it a lot at work here lately when somebody else knocks loose a memory of something that you haven't thought about for at least 10 years. I have not thought about CKY since like 2011.
Yeah.
Like just the fact you even brought it up. It's like, oh shit, dog. Like
core memory unlocked.
Yeah. You knocked some memories loose. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, well, that's all I had to say about Devil Church TY. What's your thoughts?
So, this is one of those, and, you know, as far as my notes go, I really appreciate the organ vibes. That's one of those things that, as me being a Ghost fan, has kind of evolved. You either got to like the organs or just pretend it's not there. And I personally am a big fan of the organ. So, you know, I definitely dug that. I really like the kind of weird flow that the track has. But Brandon was talking about some stuff with the Van Halen instrumental tracks, and he said a couple things that I didn't really understand until I looked at it from the perspective of, so I'm a Tool fan. I'm a big Tool fan. And, there's a lot of tracks just like this that are just sprinkled throughout an album, and you know, it might be 2 minutes or less, and it's just a bunch of fucking weird shit going on. And I've been cruising around in the car with people before, and it's like they immediately reach to skip it. And I don't do that because like Fear Inoculum, their most recent album, there's like actually a couple of those tracks sprinkled throughout there where whenever I listen to the album, I listen to it start to finish in sequential order. And it's kind of like an experience thing. And that's just how I like to enjoy it. If I was the same level of fan with Ghost, you know, maybe I wouldn't necessarily skip this, you know, in the same vein as that. You know, I really like what Brandon brought up, because by no means does a low numerical number attached to something like this mean that it's bad. You know, it's just, I personally can't give something like this like a 10, even if I super enjoyed it, because Cerise and He Is, like those, I mean, we brought up the winning of a Grammy, you know? So it's unfortunate that I'm going to give it a lower number than it deserves.
What's that number?
I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Okay. I gave it a 7, so we're not too far off. Andy?
I gave it a 7, too.
Hey, Brando?
6.
Okay, we're on the ballpark yet again.
I set us up with really low expectations, and then every one of us was like, hey, we really liked it. It's okay. Brando. Sometimes I just get up on my soapbox and I get scared like that.
I'm going to have you lead off Absolution, Brando. Give us your... vibes.
Yeah, catchy riff on an album with more catchy riffs. So, drinking game number two. It's catchy. It's catchy riffs, and we got catchy choruses, but the piano. I haven't really talked about mix a whole lot on this one, because I think overall it's mixed pretty well. But I felt like the piano was a bit loud in the chorus. Good. But just a tad bit loud, and the vocals are also big as well. But sometimes the piano kind of came in a little overpowering in the mix for me.
Andy?
I really like that bell that comes in with this song. It's just like another thematic element, another ghost staple, these little interesting sounds to make you feel like you're part of this like whole experience. I love... the pre-chorus, the way he sings that. And we actually play this song, and it's one of my favorites to sing and vibe out to. And I wanted to point out, to me, this song gives more like the contemporary Christian vibes, because the chorus reminds me a lot of the type of music I was listening to when I was growing up, versus like the old school Catholic, like maybe the Opus stuff with the Latin lyrics. And I just think that that's really interesting. And I love how that keeps just coming back. But I didn't mention the harmonized solo. I really like that. So, yeah.
Excellent. I wrote "What an epic riff" right out of the gate. The bars section leads it again. Just bass and drums kicking ass. For those of you who don't know, bars stands for badass rhythm section. Just little old school thing. Lyrically brilliant. Just all those things you desire, you'll find them in the fire. Ugh.
Yes, sir.
Like. Oh, you can't even. It's got the catchiest chorus. Riff with the piano slays. It's got an unsettling groove. In my opinion, this is the sleeper on the album, if not the next song. The harmonized solo is, it's too good. I just can't even. It has cool, vibes. The breakaway is so 80s hair metal. I fucking loved this one. T.Y.
I love the way that this song just comes in. Here we are, heavy again. I really dig the way that the tempo changes a couple times throughout the song, and just the overall tone. You know, it's a lot of this. I definitely agree that this one is a sleeper for sure. But I think... You know, you brought up the next track, Nate. I think I do enjoy this one a little bit.
All right, so let's get it. T.Y., what's that rank, bro?
8.15.
Oh, I love that.
Obscure. I had to give it just a little bit more.
Okay. I gave it a 9.25. Andy?
8.3.
And Brando?
Hold on a second.
How dare you?
Nate went a little fast after his. I didn't have time to. Tyler, did
you
say?
I was excited.
Yeah, Tyler, did you say 8.15?
I did say in the most rebellious and difficult way that I
okay,
possibly
8.15.
could. 8.15.
Nate, you were 9.25.
You know it.
Andy was 8.3. Okay. I'm at an 8.
All righty.
I love that, though.
Deus in Absentia is our next and actually final song on the Pure Meloria album. We're going to kick it off with T.Y. Hit Me.
I love that you brought up how much Absolution is a sleeper of a track, and that potentially this one also is, because that's my very first note, that this track is definitely not a sleeper. I don't have a bunch of notes for this one, because I actually didn't enjoy this one a whole lot. So I only listened to this one a couple times. Maybe I messed up there, but not my favorite track on the album.
Okay. Brando.
Interesting tune with a guitar lick after the second chorus. It's like in like the bridge type section. It's not my favorite on the album either, but it also doesn't really bring me down too much. So it's not like a huge step down from the last couple of tracks. But, you know, I can say again that the instrumental tracks, or you're in the middle of some of these really cool songs, some absolute bangers in there, but there's nothing on this album besides those instrumental tracks that are really too like bad on the ears. Like
I agree.
You have your peaks, and but your valleys aren't too deep either.
Andy.
Well, this song was actually my favorite song off way before any of the other songs. And the first and only time I heard it live, I cried. It was in 2018, Rats on the Road tour. I was like, they're playing this song live. I had like a meltdown. It was great. Awesome. But I get like more experimental vibes from it as far as like the tone and the lyrics. I wrote down literally Disney villain vibes, theater vibes, because I know Tobias kind of was into the theater, like with the Cats musical and things like mm-hmm. that. So it gives off a different feel. It doesn't quite like pack a punch like some of the other tracks. I still listen to it, just not as often. And I don't ever let it finish. I think I get bored with it, I guess, at this point. I'm just like, okay, skip. I don't finish out with those vocalizations. I guess for a album closer, aside from bonus track, it's pretty decent, but maybe it could have been better in some way.
All right. I put The Clock Returns. Like, we had Monstrance Clock as the last one on the last one. And here we are. The clock is returning in your head. We're ticking into the next step. I'm going to be really honest here and maybe break you guys a little bit. The intro of this song, 100% of the time, once it starts, always gives me Willy Wonka vibes.
What?
It does.
Because of
it's
the like,
hits.
Metronome?
Yeah, and the ticking, absolutely. It's like an Oompa Loompa thing without it being an Oompa Loompa thing. It's weird. Now I can envision like Oompa Loompas with ghost face paint. That'd be amazing.
There was more than once that this track came on while I was listening to the album initially, and I had my volume down just low enough that I couldn't hear the ticking. And it'd be like road rage, like, what is happening? Why is the music not playing? And it's literally, it's playing, you know? It's like, okay, just turn it up a little bit. Old man yells at cloud.
I think that the chorus is lyrically perfect, catchy, and beautiful. It nails all three of those in a single breath. The breakaway is an awesome pivot into the bridge. The solo nails the energy of this track. It's not too complex or convoluted. It's just enough, and it gives you that emotion. The touch of emotion. Oh, and then the breakaway happens, and you're locked in. I'm telling you, that ticking, I want them to bring it back again in the future, because I feel like it's like another signature thing of theirs. That clock has, you know, some kind of an energy to it. I'm going to agree with Andy that while the end of the song is a button for the album because it keeps with the theme of you are at Ghost Church. It does drone on at some point. You got to kind of be like, all right, I'm not going to listen to the last 2.5 minutes of this thing. We're going to just cut it off here. But yeah, I really, really absolutely dug this track. The line, the world is on fire and we all die as one eternally. Perfect. I gave this a 9.26. That's 0.1 higher than the last track for those keeping score. Brando gave me a look. I appreciate. Andy, what's your score?
I gave it 6.3.
Brando.
7.
And T.Y.
6.75.
So that's the one we were all off on. Okay, interesting. But yeah, I dig that song. All right, well, we are officially at a weird point, because if you got the deluxe edition of Meliora, you got this track. However, it does not exist on Spotify officially. You have to find it on YouTube for our listeners who are going to want to go search this one out. So we're going to be covering Zenith next. Brando, did you want to hit the where we're sitting with the album ranked to the moment before we move into our bonus tracks and stuff?
Yes.
With Pope Star?
Yes, because Zenith will not count towards our album rank. Because when the CD, wow, I'm dating myself now. When the album was released, this is what you got. You know, then there were like with anything, you have the Best Buy version, this over here version, you know, Goodwill version. But then, you know, some people, you know, eventually there was re-releases the deluxe version or the version that has the EP tube plugged in. So, no, we're going to hit it right here. And we have our album totals. My Brando's album score here, was my album rank was 7.8. Nate was 8.6, Tyler was 8.04, and Andy was 7.65, with a master rank of 8.02. It's the highest we've ranked so far.
It's a good one, man.
Oh, it is. It is definitely a classic. Of course, the highest ranked song was Cerise with a perfect score, and the lowest rank was Spokenot with 5.5. But this, when we go to do the top 10, it's going to be interesting because this album has quite a few, the 8 point whatevers. And so when I have to go down and I have to start like, well, it's easy right now. We know what number one is. It's the only one with a perfect score. You start going back to the other songs because I'm going to go through every single one, even the EPs and then the standalones. All right. Where did this one go? Where's this one at? Well, that's going to get interesting because the other albums also have some eights too. So it's going to be interesting. And rules are flexible here in Rank 'Em All. We have made rules in the past where there are no ties, and we have made rules in the past where, and here's the four songs that came in at number six, you know, if there's a huge discography, you know, but, it really depends on how much work we want to put in. But, Nate, that's where we are at for Meliora.
All right, so let's officially kick into the bonus track, Zenith. I am going to pass it off to Andy first. Now, I'm going to go ahead and ask this question. Up and until Rank 'Em All, had you heard Zenith?
Yes, we actually covered this song at our gig.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was fun. What I will say, it does fit the album vibe, but it also gives me an MCC vibe, Magna Carta Cartel, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Martin Persner wrote this song along with Tobias, or he wrote it by himself.
Looking
it just,
now.
I just feel that vibe has those themes from his other band. It feels on point with Opus and Infestissimum. It almost feels like a perfect blend of all three albums so far. I do like how it's like a Halloween type of vibe. I love, what is that, Rosemary's Baby? The basket on the cover art or something like that. I'm not too versed with the horror stuff. I really wish they would play this live because I can just envision the production for this track. The lights, the shadows, the ghouls. It would be so amazing. I do feel it drones on a little too much. Like it's a little too long for me. But the breakdown in the solo, I still enjoy it even though it feels like it's a little too long. It's still a great track though.
First thing I said is piano. Like, hey, there's nothing else happening. The song intros with a dope piano. I fucking love that. Beautiful intro that turns into a jam. The lyrics are cool. However, I think the Zenith line just falls flat for me. Like how they used it in the song isn't, I guess, I mean, I know there's not like a lot of great words that rhyme with Zenith, so you're not going to use it that way, but maybe it's the positioning. I don't know. That's my one real complaint. The second verse musical vibe is a change from the first verse. There are so many riffy riffs happening on this song. It's like all the things, all the ideas they had that they weren't sure to confirm. Also, Persner is one of the writers on this. There was actually three writers on it. It's Tobias, the drummer, Alund, and then Persner are the three credited officially. Right before the chants and the bridge and during is just all the riffs, and I love it. I really enjoyed this one, definitely. T.Y.
I'll be the first to admit I had not heard this tune until we started Rank 'Em All. This is one in my notes too. It's weird. You know, we brought up the Simon and Garfunkel vibes earlier. I don't know why necessarily, but this one it gave me a lot of those same vibes in the beginning. Not my favorite. I don't necessarily hate it by any means. But you know, I don't have a whole bunch to say about it.
And Brando.
This would have been a better album closer. All honesty, for me, it's a riffy little song. It kind of fits right in with what they were doing. If you would put this, I do like what Andy said about kind of like blending all these different sounds into one kind of song. And that is very true, but I feel like the structure of the song, the riffs, the vibe, it would have fit right in, and it would have just been a continuation, and it would have risen up. If you'd swap the album closer and this one, it probably would have raised my score up a little bit. But man, that riff in the bridge. Oh man. And then after it's done it a few times, there's this bass slide. Boom. Like, oh yeah. When I heard that, I didn't even finish the song. I backed up. Like,
you'd had enough.
No, Yeah. It definitely pleased me in certain ways, but I rewound by like 20 seconds just so I could like listen to it again. And I'm like, yeah, I like it. All right. Good shit, man. Good shit.
All right. Give me that rank then, bro.
8.
T.Y.
7.
8.99.
What?
Why? Why do you do this?
Sometimes I think it's just to break you guys, honestly.
Why?
You know, earlier on in the episode, I was probably a little bit more elevated and I let stuff go. Now as we're getting, and I'm sobering up towards the end, I'm like, come on. All right.
I just couldn't give it a 9, okay? They should have put it on the whole actual album.
They should have.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. I think we all agree, Marla.
Andy?
8.5.
Okay.
8.5. All right. Yeah, that's going to fit right in. See, like that one, it's a little bit lower than the other 8s, but it fits right in, like with our ranks, with where we, yeah, like this would have been great on the album. But that is right. Now all the Meliora songs, well, other than the songs that have been shoehorned into another version of Meliora that was been released. But we're gonna touch on that here in a sec, aren't we?
Yeah, and I mean it's weird because actually, there is a release, the Meliora Deluxe Redo version, that has all of these songs included as a part of Meliora. So technically, you could say kinda, you know, but really, Pope Star is its own vibe, its own thing.
Yep.
We will talk about how, you know, it did come out in 2016, September 2016. So literally almost a whole year later. So they had already been, you know, in a tour cycle and stuff. And, you know, to lead off, one thing I do want to talk about is the one song that starts this album is in fact an original track and everything else is a cover. But that original track started as like what Tobias deemed, he wanted a really great intro song for their live shows. And it turns out it's a really awesome closer too, from what everybody says. So, let me just get down into my notes. I say that intro riff, catchy, riffy, banging, the drums kick in and kick our asses. The hits on Slumber and all that during are just fucking wicked. The riffiest chorus. The second verse has piano, which is absolutely fire. I wrote coffin because I love that part. Just again, the banging. The breakaway to the guitar and drums kick to the final chorus is an absolute chef's kiss. I love Square Hammer. Let's go ahead and kick it over to T.Y.
I'm telling you right now, this track's got 158 million plays on Spotify. This track blows every other track out on the album as far as streams on Spotify. I think that in itself, I think that says a lot. I think this is definitely a banger, and I think this is better than... Let me back up. I think this is one of those tunes that those people that are like fucking Ghost, you know, they'd be like, okay. But I think this is one of those that they would initially say is just like a radio, like a dad rock vibe. But this is a banger. Absolutely.
Certified.
Just the fact that the drums are, you know, it's pretty standard throughout, but just the fact that it's so prevalent and it's so present from the very beginning of the song to the end, I really, really dig it.
Rando.
The intro, keyboards, I wrote Spooky Doors vibe, because when I first heard this, it reminded me of the Doors. But it's spooky. It's Spooky Doors. And as you said, Nate, this song was intended to be an intro song or a song to wake the crowd up and get them singing as a good intro to the whole set. You know, boom, set the tone. Well, we're here to party. We're here to sing along, you know. Really was the step in bridging their sound with something akin to pop or pop rock. A very catchy and casual to the casual listener, but also with the same themes and messages, prim and proper evil, if you will. But I personally credit Meliora and then the success of this single as to spreading the gospel of Ghost to a more broad audience. This song was a hit on the radio. It was the maybe some purist like maybe what. You have the detractors, but then you also have the purists who are also detracting towards maybe something a little bit like more radio friendly. But this was an answer. Like, think about it. This came out almost a year later. Bands don't do that anymore. Back in the 60s and 70s, you had a new album every year. It was, album, tour, and very, very seldom did a band do a complete world tour. They would tour their country of origin, typically maybe a quick stint over in Europe and then a flash in the pan in Japan. But you would then come back and instantly be back in the studio because you signed an 8 record deal with your record label and you had to get another album out, you know. But it's really cool because now Tobias has set a standard almost of you release an album a little while later, you answer it with like a shorter with some covers, some different stuff. But it keeps the audience engaged for the entire time, but there's not this long period of time without any new Ghost material. And that's really cool. And he continues that here. And he did so with an original song that is a banger. It's catchy. It does everything you want it to do. It keeps the vibe, but it experiments with the next level of where the band's going as a sound. And we're going to hear that going forward on the next couple of albums as well.
Andy.
I really love this track. I love how it's in your face. I know, like you were saying, it's like it's marketable to the average listener, but it is in your face with those lyrics. Are you going to swear for the devil right here, right now? Just like, oh, yes, it's driving. I find it weird that it wasn't included. And I've also experienced this as a opener for a concert. My first Ritual, in fact, I was just watching it last night and I was trying to compare their shows then to now, and it does get you pumped, but there's just so many more great songs and the way he sets them all up now that it does work great as a closer. And, you know, you don't expect to get emotional on a song like Square Hammer, but when I know the end is coming on those Rituals, I get emotional during Square Hammer. I can't help it. I love singing it. I love how Tobias sounds here. I know in some of the live versions when he was Papa 3, he would extend a certain note on the last chorus. I think it has a great solo, one of the greater Ghost solos, just because it's simple but effective to echo on what y'all have been saying in the past. I think it's great. I'm glad it's here.
All right, well, let's get that rank.
I gave it 9.7.
Brando.
9.7.
Cool. 2 for 2.
T-Y.
9.25.
10, baby.
I fought, you know, just like with He Is. I wrestled mm-hmm. with the idea because I love this track. It again, you know, playlist right here. Playlist. If you're going to make a ghost playlist of just the essential, it's definitely like this is like the essential hits that you'd see at Walmart and the. In the $5 CD bin, right?
This is one of the ones that when I started picking up and playing guitar again, the first band I wanted to learn anything of was Ghost, and this was the first Ghost song I learned on guitar, so it definitely is a little bit more of a special spot in my heart because I can just fucking, I love jamming out to that fucking track. Let's jump forward now. We're going to actually move into the cover section of this creepy EP, Pope Star, Nocturnal Me. Brando, this is an Echo and the Bunnymen cover. What are your thoughts?
This song never seems to get out of first gear for me. It like seems like it starts and it stays there. It's a cover. It's not as dynamic as the everything that listening to this after everything that we've already heard. It was a bit of a step down for me. But kind of meanders just a little bit. It's not offensive to the ears. There's nothing here. Again, nothing here that I've ranked has been offensive. It's just maybe this one misses the bar for me.
Andy.
I don't really listen to the original, but I did go back just so I could compare. I think if you're a fan of the original song, you'll like what Ghost did because he does do great covers. I like how dark it is. I put muddy bass. But I don't really listen to it that often. Maybe if I was just in that particular headspace and I wanted to vibe, maybe I'll turn it on. But like Brando was saying, it doesn't really do too much, but it's not like a bad, bad song.
I said that it was groovy and unsettling. I really love, Papa's vocal tone for this. The OG song is violin driven. Which is unique. There, it's like mainly violin that riff is from. And I think it's a pretty good song, Echo and the Bunnymen. Ghost did it better. And that's literally every single song on this thing. I'm going to be saying that I'm pretty sure. I'm literally pretty sure in all the notes. So yeah, I thought Ghost killed it. TY.
I don't have a bunch of notes. Kind of a weird open. I like what Brando said, that it never really got out of first gear. It just didn't really do it for me. Drum solo ? I need to listen to it more. That's okay. Kind of what I put in my notes.
So let's get your rank then.
I'm going to give it a 6.25.
I gave it a 7.75. Andy?
5.3.
And our rank master?
6.5.
Okay, let's move on to the next track, which is I Believe. We're going to lead off with TY, even if you don't have a lot to say. This is a Simian Mobile Disco cover.
I don't have a lot to say, but I do have a couple good notes, I think. This is a little bit of a slow start for a bop. This one took me by surprise. I listened to it once or twice, and the intro being kind of drawn out in that little bit house vibe there. It just kind of grabs you once it gets going, and I enjoyed it a little bit more than I thought I was going to.
Brando.
So, cool vibe, but I'm going to repeat myself as first gear again. I feel like it started, and then it never really went to the next level. It didn't really evolve into anything that really caught my attention. I gave it a little bit extra for it not being as boring to me as the last one, but it's kind of in the same vein for me.
Andy.
I've never heard the original before, so I went and looked it up, and I think Ghost did a great job capturing that electronic vibe, that poppiness, and in the way that it is kind of stagnant, it works for it, and I actually like that it's just kind of smooth and you're just kind of floating in this space when you're listening to it. It reminds me of He Is, and I think he sounds really, really good here. And what I put down was like the harpsichord. I think that's what they used. That was really pretty. It zones me out, holds my attention like I'm about to be baptized. That's what I put.
Oh, I love that. I wrote that it's a lengthy intro for a shorter song. 4 minute song. The intro is 1:06. So it's a quarter of the song. Papa plus reverb equals beautiful divided by unsettling. Because it's all those things. It's beautifully unsettling, and I love that. So vocally driven. There's not a lot, obviously, musically going on. The OG version is weird, but has really cool, happy vibes. That video for that original is what? Like, go watch it if you haven't. It is what? What? Okay, anyways. I gave, I believe, a 7.25. Andy, what's your score?
Shut up. I did too. 7.25. I've done, matched 3 songs with y'all.
And Brando.
7.
And
TY. 7.75.
Hey, look at us. We're all in the range. Definitely. All right, let's move on to the next track. It is a Eurythmics cover. Andy, what are your thoughts?
My first line, I put sick. Like, I really enjoyed this track. I think it's different. I love how it's upbeat compared to the last 2 tracks. I think we really needed it because you pop out with Square Hammer, and then you've got these muddy, otherwise stagnant tracks, and now you have this really poppy, moving song. I think he also did it better than the original, even though the original is it holds its own pretty well. I like how they kept the female backing vocals. I don't know if they're actually hers or they used somebody else, but that was
somebody else
cool.
To confirm. It's not Annie Lennox.
Oh, okay, cool. And I put it was a fun song. I just think it also shows the wide variety of taste that Tobias has as far as music goes. I had a lot of fun with it.
What a perfect cover. Lyrically, it's on point. Yet again, they do it better. I mean, they really do. They do change some things a little bit, which I actually like a little bit better. Black eyed looks from those Bible books. Ugh, what a sweet fucking line. There's a harmonica solo. I'm pretty sure they kept that because the original has a lot of harmonica throughout. And I think even has the harmonica solo. There is some killer drumming on this. I want to mention, it's like a look ahead into the future because I feel like it's obviously they're 2 totally different songs, but this is like the prequel to Jesus, He Knows Me. Mm. You know, it has the same vibe, the same energy. We're going to be talking about that song later, you guys. That's a spoiler, but you know, anyways, I did something because I was super intrigued. There's a spot in the song where he says money and they repeat money and money and money and money. And I wrote a dot for every single money. And it's a lot. It's like 46 goddamn little tiny dots that they did. Again, I'll say it again. Ghost did it better. The OG is odd, but good in its own right. Sorry, Annie Lennox. That's probably a little blasphemous to say. Also, her guitarist looked like Kenny Omega. I had a laugh at that. I was like, what the fuck? Time traveling Kenny Omega. TY.
I'm telling you right now, this song is so catchy that even if you didn't want it to be, like if you went out of your way to ignore the fact how catchy it is, it don't matter. It's gotcha. The moment you start listening to it, it's gotcha. And it's so up tempo and has such a good contrast to the last couple tracks. I really like what Andy brought up. This is so good. It's absolutely so good.
Brando.
So the first time I heard this is when Square Hammer came out and I just listened to the whole EP on Spotify. I didn't know any of these were covers. I didn't. I just turned it on and listened to it. And the first time I heard it, when he first starts singing, I said, that sounds like Eurythmics. I had no idea. I had no idea.
That's awesome.
And so when I looked it up, I was like, because I just thought like his voice was emulating Annie Lennox a little bit, like with, just from what I know of the Eurythmics. It was like, I'm not a huge fan of the Eurythmics, but I do know a few songs. Turns out this one was a single for them at some point in like the mid 80s. And what's funny is when I did go back to listen to their version, it wasn't until I got to the money, money, money part that I'm like, I have heard their version at some point because I, I, I recognized it. As soon as I heard their version, I went, yep, okay. At some point I've heard this song. It's obviously for them not as big a hit as some other, but still, like it tracks. And what I really like is that once again, they took a song, kept it true, but added these little, like, just elements that kept it this out of the songs that they've covered so far. This one sounds the most Ghost. Like taking using Ghost elements in this, and it just plucks it right. It puts it right in there. Like of the songs on this that are covers, this one was playlist for me.
Because I 100% thought this was an original Ghost song at first.
Because it just fits.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Brando, what's your rank, my guy?
8.5.
T Y.
8.5.
9.25. Andy?
8.
Okay, so we're all still pretty close to the ballpark there.
Absolutely. I'm one of those people that I really, really enjoy covers, but absolutely, I cannot express how much I enjoy the fact that Ghost consistently and at a super high level does these covers, because they're really good.
Absolutely agree with you, TY. They do something. It's like Tobias takes all of his influences and he says, you know what? I'm going to really shine a light on why the fuck I am who I am and why I make the kind of music I make, so that maybe my fans will not only understand what I'm doing more, but will learn to appreciate good music that they maybe would not have given the chance before. And that is huge in the world of discovering music. We're going to move on to the last track here. I'm fighting off a sneeze. God damn it. Just being real with you guys. I'm like,
Ruby ran up to me the other day and she's like, Dad, I'm struggling for my life. Cause she hears Scott, my wife and I all the time talking about we're fighting for our life. It's our favorite thing to say. And she just ran around the corner, Dad, I'm struggling for my life. And it's like, oh, my sweet girl, you are struggling.
All right. We are on the final track. As I said, this is Bible from Imperet. I think I said that right. Maybe not. We'll see. It's a cover. When it kicks in, it's pretty good. Heavy Christian undertones, and it's in my opinion way too long. Not to say that it's the worst thing, but it just to me was not the vibe for what we were doing here. TY.
It's definitely It's definitely a very like lighthearted song as far as like tone. It's one of those like ADHD things where if you like put it on in the background and like you're just kind of hearing the melody and just a little bit of the instruments and it makes you feel happy. I totally agree in every way that you put this at like 3 minutes and this might be, something that we rank a little bit higher, but the fact that it's almost 7 minutes long, I think it definitely drags, and it's one of those things that, you know, Bible, the theme, it definitely fits. Just not my favorite.
Random.
So I had not heard, like, unlike where I discovered I had heard Missionary Man, I had not heard this one at all. And I went and checked it out because I thought, man, this has a very 80s sound. And the original is super 80s. And I kind of dug it. But I said, good on Ghost for just picking covers to make people go out and listen to different artists. Not picking stuff that's like very just on the nose all the time about what you should do. Or these big rock epics or whatever. No, they're always picking, he's always picking something out of left field. And, you know, maybe you'll dig them, maybe not, but it's, you know, lifting others as you rise, as you become more popular, as you've now become, mainstream, and the next thing that you're going to do is put something out and you're going to highlight some of your influences or whatever. It's like, you know, that's kind of sharing the bread a little bit. And I've always admired bands that do that, because it's like, yeah, you know what? This, whatever this song was, whatever this, whoever these guys were, the, you know, and back then, that he found some connection with, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to give back, because they gave to me and they helped inspire me. And I've always thought that was really cool. To end here, I thought that the song was, the song very much has a vibe of like, end credits from an 80s movie. Like it's maybe not something super, super remarkable, but it's one of those, as soon as I heard it, I'm like, yeah, this, I can hear, I could see credits rolling as people were like shuffling out of a theater after this, you know, like maybe not as good as like, Don't You Forget About Me, but definitely in the vibe a little bit. Maybe Tyler, this is the song that plays as you drive off in the distance on that scooter that we talked about on the night of the concert. just hop on a scooter and just ride off into the distance and never be seen again.
So we were bebopping around downtown Indy, fighting for our life, struggling for our life to get in and out of our concert, and it was a whole to do. And anybody that knows me knows these like manic scenarios that my ADHD brain creates. And when that happens, I have a choice. I can contain that within my brain to punish myself for all time, or I could let that little bit of manicness out to share with the world. And we're bebopping around, is it Victory Field? Is that what the Indian Stadium's called?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
I'm pretty sure. So we're like right in front of Victory Field, and there's like a whole line of bird scooters. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, what would you guys do if I just hopped on a bird scooter and just took off, never to be seen again? And every single person was like, yeah, I could see you doing that. And then, like, every single person created a scenario, and it was like, huh.
Yeah. All right. Mine was like the ending of Short Circuit, or like,
yeah,
like 80s, or like the, like, yeah, you're like,
Paul Jett, I put my fist up.
You throw your hat
over the horizon. Yeah. So anytime you need just a little bit of dopamine or serotonin, just think you could jump on like a bird or a lime scooter at any point in time and just ride off in sunset, never to be seen or heard from again. Wow.
I think you're the last to give your Bible thoughts. That sounds weird, Bible thoughts. Yeah, go for it.
There was nothing particularly exciting about the track, but it was not like a bad listen. It gave me some Hedwig and the Angry Inch vibes. I don't know if anybody's seen that movie, but like a musical number, a musical movie. The cover to me sounds way better than the original. I put that it had a nice buildup, not too slow, catchy chorus. It has me questioning my beliefs. Like, it fits the Ghost vibe, but yeah, maybe it's a tad too long. Not my favorite, but not like a horrible track.
What did you end up ranking it?
6.5.
Brando.
7.5.
TY.
6.5.
I gave it a 6.25. Wow. Hey.
All right, there we are. That's Pope Star ranked. Again, the EPs don't necessarily count towards the album ranks, but we still rank all the songs here. Of course, the highest ranked song was Square Hammer. It's 9.66. So,
hey,
one of those numbers is the other way around. But you know, here we are. Some cool tracks here to check out with Pope Star. But that brings us to the end, Nate.
We did it.
All right, we did it. We've successfully ranked Meloria, Pope Star. The next thing on our journey is Prequel and 7 Inches of Satanic Panic. Plus, we're going to be talking about It's a Sin and Avalanche, which are two more covers that were done during the Prequel era, which are, well, we'll talk about it when we get there. But, yeah, as I always do, guess what I get to do now? I get to kick it right back to Brando. Hey, Brando,
Yeah.
Let us know where we can hear what we're doing here currently.
Well, if you made it all the way this far, I'm pretty sure you know. But if this is your first time, you could check out the Ring 'Em All podcast and pretty much everywhere you can get your podcasts at. We're on Spotify, where you can also listen along to the next album in preparation and get your ranks ready. We want to know your ranks as well. You can check us out on YouTube if you want to see our big, beautiful faces right here with the cool backgrounds and the Rank 'Em Alls and the logos and all that jazz. But, no, guys, go check out the YouTube. Comment down below. Let us know.
Enable notifications.
Yeah, that thing, the bell thing. But, yeah, let us know what you're thinking and what the songs rank for you. You can also check us out on the dot rocks. Rank 'em all dot rocks is where you can find us at there. So, Nate, pass it on back to you.
And then I'm going to just kick the baton over to Andy and have her let us know where we can find all her amazing content yet again.
You guys can find me on Instagram at sister_crimson and YouTube. Just look up Andy Crimson. I do everything from reaction videos, covers, mukbangs, and probably a little bit of merch hauls sprinkled here and there.
Amazing. Amazing. All right. And I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in for TY, Brando, Andy, and myself, Nate. We will see you all next time on the next episode of Rank 'Em All. Later.